So I've been having a fun December, getting ready for Christmas, and it's just so nice to be here. It's already feels, you can already feel the spirit in this church, right? It's already here. A few weeks ago, I had gotten some ornaments for my grandchildren to hang on their tree and had them in a little bag. Little Julia was at my house. She's at 2 and a half now. And her brother Jace, who's 5, and his dad had come over to pick her up. And so as soon as Jace came in the room, he immediately noticed this little present that was sitting next to me on the table. He never misses a trick like that. He sees this little present. And he comes right over and he says, "Marmy, what's that?" And I said, "Well, it's a present. I'm going to send it home with Julia today for your family to open when you get home. Can I touch it?" I said, "Yeah, you can touch it." Touched it. "Can I hold it?" I said, "Yes, you can hold it." So I picked it up, kind of squeezed it a little bit, turned it around. And then he started to open up the top. I said, "But Jace, remember, you can't open it until you get home." So I closed it up, held it for another few seconds, and then started to open it up again. So I said, "Jace, it's so hard not to open that present until you get home, isn't it?" And he looked at me and he said, "Marmy, it's impossible." I just love a child's honesty, right? No pretense, no trying to sneak around or anything, just an honest assessment of what his 5-year-old abilities were. He was very, very clear on that was impossible. I think today in our reading, we have a reading about Joseph, and I always love this weekend before Christmas. It's always about Joseph and Mary. 2 out of 3 times we get Mary, but today we get Joseph. And Joseph is also, like Jace, facing an impossible task. He has an impossible situation. Here he is. He's a young man, probably 15, 16 years old. He's ready to get married to his betrothed, Mary, and now she's pregnant. And this is a much more difficult situation than we can even imagine in our time period, because for Mary, this meant that she would be stoned to death. And he's a righteous man. He's a law-abiding man. So he has this dilemma now. What does he do? So the scriptures give us a picture of this. They tell us that he decided that he would divorce her quietly and try not to bring any attention to this. And he's a prayerful man, and then he falls asleep, and an angel comes to him. And the angel comes to bring him a message. The first thing the angel says is not to be afraid, which is the first thing the angel always says when it comes. Don't be afraid. Because that's right. Because we are afraid, right? We're afraid of so many things that God always has to start with, don't be afraid. Okay, don't be afraid. And then the angel says, take Mary as your wife and name the child Jesus. And the angel also explains to him how special this child will be and that it has a very important role in God's plan for the world. So Joseph listens to the angel in the dream. He allows himself to be led. He allows himself to be told what to do next. And this is perhaps one of the most important pieces of the whole story, that Joseph listens and allows himself to be led. 6 years ago in Buffalo, New York, there was a bus driver by the name of Darnell Barton. He drove a bus filled with high school students every day. And one day he was crossing the bridge, and as he was going across, there was a lot of traffic, and he slowed down, and he saw a young woman on the side stepping over the guardrail to the edge of the bridge. And so he immediately pulled the bus over, pulled it to a stop, and he opened the door up, and he shouted out to her, "Hey, are you doing okay out there?" And she looked back at him, and then she turned around and continued to climb over the guardrail. So he parked the bus, stopped the bus, jumped out of it, ran over to the rail, said something to her, and just as she was about to go over the edge, he put his big arms out, grabbed her, and pulled her back. Sat her down on the pavement, began to talk with her. Meanwhile, people had called. First responders came and took over, got back on the bus. And he later told the Buffalo News. He said he could hear his mother's voice in his head, prompting him to do the right thing. He told the reporter, "The Bible says we are to be ready in season or out of season. When God speaks to your heart, you have to stop and listen. If you've got time to do anything, you've got time to do the right thing." Darnell Barton was able to stop and listen, as Joseph is able to stop and listen. Joseph's listening does not end with the first dream. Life will continue to be very difficult for this young couple. Last night we had beautiful choirs singing at church from 4 to 5. They had a Christmas concert. And they're singing all the best Christmas carols. You know, we just love those. Sort of Oh, Holy Night, Silent Night. But I'm preparing this homily and I'm thinking, really? Silent Night, Holy Night? I mean, think about that for a moment. You're 9 months pregnant. You got to travel, maybe on a donkey, maybe you're walking, 100 miles to pay taxes for money you don't have, and you get there and there's no place to stay, and this baby is coming. Does this sound like Silent Night, Holy Night? Not to me. It really does not, right? On top of that, you have a maniac leader, Herod, who is out declaring he's going to kill every firstborn child, firstborn son. And as the story evolves, this young couple are going to be refugees running from this. So how do we get these beautiful Silent Night, Holy Night thing? Because in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of this chaos, this terror, this frightening time, a baby is born. And a baby changes everything. When a baby comes, the world stops. There's nothing more beautiful, nothing more that tells us how present God is. And this is a very special baby. It is a baby who comes to tell us exactly that, that God is with us. Emmanuel means God is with us. God will come to Joseph in 3 more dreams. There will be a dream where an angel tells him to take the child and the mother and to escape to Egypt, because Herod will be searching for the baby to kill him. And so Joseph will take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. They will be refugees. They will know no one there. They will be completely dependent on people there who will take care of them. There will be a third dream. When Herod dies, an angel will come to tell Joseph to return, for those who have sought the child's life are now dead. And when Joseph goes to return to his home, an angel will come one more time to tell him that his homeland is now run by Herod's son. It's not safe to go there. Instead, to go and settle in Nazareth. And each time that God directs Joseph, Joseph will listen. About 20 years ago, there were 2 Americans who were invited by the Russian Department of Education to come to Russia and help develop educational resources there. Not something that would probably be happening right now in our time, but things changed, right? 20 years ago. They were a Christian couple, and so they liked on their free time to go and work at an orphanage. There were 100 children, over 100 children in an orphanage there. When Christmas time came, they were invited to come and tell stories to the children. So they came and told the most familiar Christmas story that they knew, and that was the story of Jesus' birth. They told the 100 children how Joseph and Mary had gone to Bethlehem, how there was no room at the inn, how they had gone out to the stable, and how Jesus had been born and placed in the little manger. As they were telling the story, the children were on the edge of their seats with rapt attention, listening to the story with their eyes as big as saucers, hanging on to every word. After they told the story, they had a craft project for the children to make their own manger. They had brought simple things, some cardboard to build a stable out of, yellow napkins to rip up for the hay, little pieces of flannel for the blanket, and some felt to make the baby Jesus. The kids got right into the project. And the couple walked around looking at their work, seeing their mangers. And then they came to one little boy. They noticed that he had put two babies in the manger. So they called the translator over to ask him why he had put two babies. And the little boy, who was 6 years old, repeated almost word for word the story they had told him, how Joseph and Mary had gone to Bethlehem, how there was no room at the inn, how they went out to the stable, how Jesus was born and put in the manger, and then he began to ad lib. He said, when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked up at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. And I told him that I don't have a mommy or a daddy, so I don't have a place to stay. And so Jesus invited me to stay in his manger with him. So I got in the manger with Jesus, but I felt badly because I didn't have a gift like the three kings did. And so I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, would that be a good gift? And Jesus said, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. And so I got in the manger with Jesus, and Jesus told me I could stay with him forever. Little six-year-old Misha, a little Russian boy, knew exactly what the story of Jesus was about. He knew what the story of Emmanuel was. Emmanuel means God is with us. And he knew that this wasn't a story that came out of a book somewhere and that would go back on a shelf, but this was a real story about God being with him, Misha. Emmanuel meant that God would be with him. When Misha learned that story, his life changed because now he had hope inside of us, a hope that there was a home for him, a place for him, and somebody that wanted him to be with him. And that's the beauty of hope, and it's the beauty of the Christmas message. It's the message we're given at Christmas time, a message of hope, a message that we're not alone, a message that God is with us in all of the craziness and chaos of the world. Some of you may remember the Berrigan brothers, two extraordinary men who and Philip's wife, who protested nuclear arms and the nuclear war for all of their lives. Philip Berrigan died in December, right around this time, in 2002. He had spent over a third of his life in prison protesting nuclear weapons. He had a world vision for peace. But he said the most important thing that each person can do, the highest apostolic duty that we have, is to encourage one another. That's the most important thing, to encourage one another, to give hope to one another, to bring joy to one another, because it is hope that transforms the world. How do we sustain that hope when the world seems impossibly crazy? We have only to ask for it humbly in our own words, in our own way of connecting to God, to begin wherever we are, and God will meet us precisely in that place. I used to think that only special people like Joseph and Mary ever got talked to by God or could talk to God, or maybe a few saints here and there are really exceptional people. But I was mistaken. I also thought maybe if I worked hard enough in my lifetime and became good enough, maybe at some point there would be some spiritual moment. And I was wrong about that too. There is no special key to God's heart. Each one of us may enter, the beggar, the thief, the priest, the shaman, the atheist, the elderly, the baby, all may enter. God's grace comes to all, and God's love sometimes in just small glimmering sparks of light. And they needn't explode upon us for us to see or feel God's love. The small spark can grow to the eternal blaze if allowed to do so. We can begin wherever we are and know that God is with us. You don't have to get yourself ready for God or wait to become somebody that you're not. God is already with you, sitting with you right where you are now, and loving you just as you are in this very moment. God only asks for the smallest surrender of our free will. Two little words like, help me. And that small pin-sized hole of willingness allows God's solution to pierce the doubt and crack through our armor. Both Joseph and Mary allowed themselves to be led. The world around them was difficult and scary and treacherous. But the angel told them both, do not be afraid. Let God lead you to safety. Follow the star. Joseph and Mary come to us today to teach us and to tell us, let God lead you. Be led in your hearts, be led in your days, be led in your words, your deeds, your actions towards others. Follow the voice in your heart and listen as they listened. Listen. You are asked to listen. This baby Jesus has come to you, and a baby changes everything. He is Emmanuel, God with you. These are the words of Christmas. The words that make it possible for a little Russian boy to climb into a manger and know that he is not alone. The words that make it possible for us to go through Christmas when someone close to us has died, to keep living when we are discouraged or afraid, to seek refuge from violence or oppression. The words that make it possible for us to be a light in the world when there is much darkness, and for Jesus to rise and rise and rise again, not from this earth, but in our hearts. Merry Christmas, everyone.